is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
That God fulfilled a promise. Back in Genesis, He promised that He would send a Redeemer. There would be somebody born in flesh, clothed in flesh. Because He was born, we celebrate and we give thanks. And we can never afford to let Christmas become just a tradition, because it speaks of an important truth. We need to remember the importance of this event, why we celebrate it, and how firmly God's promises are. They should be planted in our hearts, how firm they are for us, so that we can guide by it and be calmed by it as we go into our future.
The season of Christmas is much more than a tradition. It's the fulfillment of God's promise made at the beginning to send a Redeemer to pay for our sins. Jesus' birth is the reason we celebrate and give thanks during this season. God loves us so much, He sent His Son so we could enter into a relationship with Him. In his message today, Pastor Troy encourages you to plant this truth in your heart. Lean on the fulfillment of God's promise to calm your heart during times of chaos. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Luke chapter 2 with today's Christmas Eve edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
I think if we remember what this holiday is really all about, it changes everything. I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas again a little earlier today. And, you know, Charlie Brown's trying to organize the play, and he buys his little skimpy Christmas tree that everyone mocks him about. And he's just, what is all this about? What is all this about? Can someone please tell me what this is all about? And Linus steps in to the spotlight and recites a portion of our text tonight. You know, there were shepherds watching over the flocks by night, and the angels gave the message, and it was just this wonderful moment. When you reflect and you go, wow, we were able to say that on TV back then. And it changed everything. It changed the attitudes on the stage. It changed, even the tree looked better after that. That's what Christmas ought to do for us. It ought to, when we've been running a little bit off course, we're kind of all over the place, we've forgotten what life's about, a whole year has passed by and I didn't accomplish half of what I wanted to, we ought to remember that all those things don't matter. That what matters is what God has done. See, right now we're waiting for the second coming. We're waiting for the rapture, actually, right? Lord, take me now. When is it going to happen? It's taking forever. Well, did you know that before our time right now, where we're waiting for the rapture, they were waiting for the Messiah. The same sense of expectation, hope. Oh, when are you going to come? It was a promise that was given. And then finally, it was a promise that was fulfilled. And Christmas represents, the message of Christmas, why we celebrate Christmas, represents a promise fulfilled. Now, there are more promises to come. And if that one was fulfilled, we can expect that the others will be too. So this is really good news. For unto us a child is born. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Now, the Christmas story is an important one for us to remember because of the fact that God fulfilled a promise. Back in Genesis, He promised that He would send a Redeemer. There would be somebody born in flesh, clothed in flesh. Because He was born, we celebrate and we give thanks. And we can never afford to let Christmas become just a tradition, because it speaks of an important truth. We need to remember the importance of this event, why we celebrate it, and how firmly God's promises are. They should be planted in our hearts and how firm they are for us so that we can guide by it and be calmed by it as we go into our future. So in verse 1 we read of Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The first thing I want us to consider tonight as we think about God's promises being fulfilled is that his birth was orchestrated. His birth was told, foretold, it was promised, and it was laid out, orchestrated, set up. God is in control. Some things had to be established. Quirinius was governing Syria, and so a census was called. I love that the Bible gives us names, times, and events, major events that took place, because it's like, this isn't just a story. I want you to be able to research this in the annals of history and find out this is true. Very specific details, even names. And so Joseph and Mary take this trek. They're in Nazareth, far to the north, and take a day's journey. They traveled for days to get down to where they needed to be. And they wouldn't have gone there if it weren't for the census. But see, the prophecy was not that he would be born in Nazareth, but that he would be born in Bethlehem. So the trip had to take place. And not only that, he had to be from Nazareth because it said it would be called a Nazarene, from Nazareth. And so his birth was set up from the beginning of time. It didn't look like everything was under control because they go and there's no room for him in the inn. And he has to be born in a cave, laid in a feeding trough for animals, wrapped in swaddling cloths. And so it wouldn't have looked like, from the outside, that's God's child. That's the Son of God. That's the one of promise. Very humble, but it was orchestrated by God. Now, you may feel like you've had disadvantages in your own life, setbacks. But did you know that God even knew about those? In fact, the very place that you were born, the parents that you had, whether they were great ones by your standards or you look back and go, they could have done better. God knew where you needed to be so that you might grope for him. You might desire him. See, for someone who's got all the wealth, what happens for them is they'll find out that doesn't satisfy, and they're going to long for something. And for others, born in under different circumstances, parents who aren't around, or whatever it is, you long for something. Something is missing. Wherever we were born, in whatever circumstances we were born in, God knew about it. He orchestrates it. And you were born in the circumstances, in the place, in the time, so that you would long for him. He gave you an advantage. He put you right where you needed to be, so that you would long for him. Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us." God's desire is that all of us would come to know him. He's given us all a good start. And you may think, well, we didn't have certain things. Good. You're missing them for a reason. Because no matter what you have, we're going to feel a little empty until we find that Christ is the answer. Rather than complain, we ought to be trusting in the Lord as Christians when things aren't going the way we want them to. Because see, even when we come to him, he doesn't want us to forget him. And so things will still come about. Trials still happen. These things test our faith. They build our faith, but they also leave us in the place of consistently and constantly groping for Him, longing for Him. This world is in desperate need of a Savior. And the good news is He's come. There's times in our life we don't understand. There's a lot of whys. Why this? Why that? And hopefully we cast those whys toward the Lord, because that's His desire, is that though we don't get all of the answers, we still will long for Him, desire for Him. God knows He doesn't want to keep us too content down here, so that all we want is this. No, we're good, Lord. You know, when we're younger, we have our health, we've got the future ahead of us, everything seems bright, we've got a lot to look forward to. And so it's typical of the youth to go, I don't want the Lord to come back yet. I've got so much ahead of me, so much to live for. I want to do so much. Let me prophesy for you. You're going to get older. Let's talk to us older folk now. And you're going to look back and you go, that wasn't all that. Lord, when are you going to come? If I could do something, there's so many things I would do differently. I didn't know what was important back then. I thought I did, and I did this, and I tried this, and I wanted to have this, and I wanted to have that. I was groping for things. I was grabbing for things. I grabbed for a lot of the wrong things. Made a lot of mistakes. Hurt people. I was hurt myself. And I look back and I go, man, I would do so much different. The groping will never end, guys. And it's supposed to be that way. But the good news is God knows all about it. He orchestrates these things for us so that we might long for Him. The best thing that you can do today, and even more so when you're younger, is to give your life wholly to the Lord and do everything that He wants you to do, because it is the most exciting journey that exists. Not only exciting, but it's fulfilling.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So Jesus' birth was orchestrated. It is amazing. We could sit here all night and talk about how it was all set up. It is just crazy to know that this is what God has done. But the birth of Christ should remind us. You look at the baby in the manger when you go out and you see them and you go, man, God, through against all odds, delivered His Son. He delivered the promise. And He's going to keep all of His promises. God has given us His Word to guide us and reassure us. And in His Word, we find comfort, hope, and understanding. But God's Word, it needs to be obeyed. There's some in there for us. There's a part for us. He's just not going to drag us through success and fulfillment. You got to listen, heed, obey, trust Him, deny ourselves, and follow after Him. I remember a student in seminary, he said, Dr. Ironsides is a great biblical scholar, wrote some commentaries, a great teacher. This student was in his class, looked up to him and said, you know, how come God uses you so mightily? And he says, son, I get up every single morning and read my Bible and pray. And I get up around 3:30 and spend about an hour at least with the Lord. The young man said, how did you get there? I mean, did you pray and did you seek the Lord, pray and fast? You know, how did you get to that point? He said, when it's 3:30, I get up. There's nothing spiritual about it. I sought the Lord. I knew I needed to pray. I schedule the time and I get up. There's nothing hyper-spiritual about those things. It's about obedience. And for some of us, we just need to obey the Lord. He's laid all this together. He's laid it all out and he's in control so that we might grope for him. Not so that we might carry it, figure it out, fix it, call it our burden, but so that we would grope for him and say, Lord, I give it up. I can look back now and I can tell you, every time I asked him to help me do what I needed to do, it didn't seem like he really helped me. But every time I said, Lord, I give up. I give it to you. If you don't even want me to do it, if you don't want me to have it, forget it. It's in those times that God started to do amazing things. I couldn't just say it. I had to mean it. Isn't that what happened for Abraham? Abraham had his eyes on his son, focused on his son. A little too much, Isaac. Finally he said, look, you need to be willing to let him go. He's become your God. And so when we're ready and willing to let go, it seems that God's ready and willing to finally act. You know why? Because he's not interested in getting things done. He's interested in changing us. And when Jesus was born, he had set it all up. And though Israel as a whole did not receive him, there were some who did. And they were ready. You know, we're safest when we let the Lord direct us. When we let the Lord just have our life. In fact, most of us are not aware that the circumstances that we're in are from the Lord for whatever reason. But the bottom line is so that we will grope for him. Look at verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So not only was his birth orchestrated, but his birth was announced. Now this is important because if it hadn't been announced so that there could be witnesses to go, this is not just a normal birth, this is not just a normal baby, no one may have believed that this was the Messiah. This is the Lord. God was building up witnesses, sort of like Moses. You know, when Moses was called to go and redeem or bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was one man. And can you imagine one man standing in the middle of San Antonio, because there were about 2.5 million that would journey with them, saying, follow me. I'm the one. I'm the voice you want to listen to. Can you imagine someone trying to do that? So it'd be hard. So what God did was, when he brought Moses in, he brought plagues, signs, wonders, everything else, so everyone would know, this is the guy. This is the guy I'm with. His sister forgot that along the way. And she goes, who made you boss? You know, as they were out and they started journeying, who put you in charge? And God struck her with leprosy to remind her, oh yeah, the Lord did. So Jesus' birth is announced. Angels come and proclaim it. But what I think is so crazy about the Lord is, you know, we look for the greatest, the best. And yet God comes to shepherds. They were guys who couldn't get a better job. They're out watching the flocks, you know, bringing them in. Come on. Taking care of and making sure that the priests and everyone were happy as they're attending to, more than likely being close to Jerusalem as they were. Many of the sheep were were sheep that would be used for the Passover and those time frames. So his birth is announced so that others could begin spreading the message, whether you believe it or not, there's born to you in this day, the city of David, a Savior. He's born. And Jesus was born in humble circumstances so that shepherds could actually go see him. See, in the home of the rich, only friends, only insiders could come. But because he was born in such humble circumstances, anyone who was willing could come. And the shepherds were willing. Jesus was God in the flesh so that we could see him. Hebrews says that he is the exact representation of his being. Now, that speaks obviously of his character, since God has no image, really. He's invisible. But his character was the exact representation of God. He was God in skin. And he was God accessible, born in those humble circumstances, so that we could know him. We can't comprehend this, but did you know that before Christ, men really couldn't know God? He was just the fearful God Almighty. The Jews once, they told Moses, why do you always listen to God for us and tell us? We want to hear him. So God spoke to Moses and said, all right, they want to hear me? Tell them to cleanse themselves for a long period of time, prepare themselves, abstain in their homes from physical activity, physical relations, because I want them clean, because I will destroy them if they're not. And God began to speak from the mountain, and it was thunders and lightnings, and they were all afraid. I said, okay, that's enough. That's enough, Moses. You speak to him. We'll listen. And they would finally listen. They couldn't know him intimately like we do. When Jesus came, he didn't come in the thunderings and the lightnings. He was born under humble circumstances. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And we write Christmas cards and have bumper stickers, and we try to take this verse out of context, and we go, hey, let's all have peace. But that's not going to happen. That's not the peace that was extended there. It was an offer of peace from him to us. Peace with men towards God. Not that there will be peace amongst men. We're sinners. And those who don't know him will not submit to him and will not allow peace. They will not do it. It's not going to happen. But we can have peace with God. And he offered that peace to us. Jesus was a peace offering. This was good news. The shepherds decide they're going to go check this out. They're told to go check it out. They do. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known, check this out, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This would be a lot to take in, right? Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again verse by verse, chapter by chapter. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. As the time gets closer and closer to the celebration of Jesus' birth, we hope that you're reminded of the amazing gift that God gave us in his son, Jesus. Although he came to earth as a tiny package in the form of a baby, he would be the greatest gift to humanity for all time. If you're looking for a place to worship God and the gift of his son, you're welcome to come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. We offer an online service as well, so go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more details. That's all for today on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.